work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
...97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine. But they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
For goodness sake, Beth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, Donald Trump was giving a press conference earlier today. When you sit and you watch Donald Trump speak at a press conference and then take questions for maybe twice as long as the actual press conference was for, compare that to what we have in the Oval Office right now. It is astounding. This was the announcement that the president was giving from Mar-a-Lago, a new
point
investment.
Of telling people if you invest $1 billion or more, and we'll do this for people with far less, too. We guarantee it. We're going to move them quickly through the environmental process. Sometimes people held up 12, 13, 14, 15 years. I saw it with plants in Louisiana where I got it approved in literally a week. They were through the review in 1 week after spending 14 and a half years trying to get it, and they were going nowhere. It was a terrible thing. So I've been a victim of that myself over the years.
So that was the announcement of, along with the announcement, with the investment that was being made and wanting to, adding to the announcement, the idea that if you're going to invest in this country and the companies in this country, that they're going to make it their business. If you invest $1 billion or more, they're going to make it in your interest to fast track that process. There are so many obstacles that you have to overachieve, to accomplish. When you're trying to do something, litigations, regulations, things that have been thrown in the way that makes progress very difficult to do. And it's good to see Donald Trump saying, we're going to get rid of a lot of that. And I think that you're going to cut spending. You're going to lower the agencies that exist in our government from, 429 or something to 99. That's what Elon Musk keeps saying. You're going to have to get rid of some regulations because there's going to be less people in place to police those. Here's something else he said at this press conference.
I'm
today.
A former, very successful president. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country. We had borders that were sealed and beautiful. We had everything was good. We had no wars. We defeated ISIS. We had no wars. Now I'm going into a world that's burning with Russia and Ukraine, with Israel. You took a look at that attack on October 7th, the attack on Israel, with the horrible way they got out. Not the fact that they got out. I would have been out before them. But we would have been out of Afghanistan with dignity and strength as opposed to looking like a bunch of fools.
So coming into this presidency, his second term, with the world being on fire, you don't have to take his word from it. I think a lot of the things we said this, we had this conversation with Paula Scanlon, who is the New Jersey coordinator at the Early Vote Action, the efforts to try to turn New Jersey red, which I got to think in New England with New York City and everything up there, that if people had a place to go in the Northeast that wasn't as obnoxiously blue as some of those places are, that could be a very good thing for New Jersey, for their prosperity. But she was talking about affordability being at the top of the list. And I think that's why a lot of people did vote for Donald Trump. In honor of Ryan Wiggins, who's not here today, Fox Business has a story out about fast food. How much does it... Okay, Ethan, when you go... How often do you go get fast food for you and your wife?
Very rarely. I mean, maybe... We've been married now 7 months. It's maybe, like, excluding, like, road trips, where, like, that's the only option. I would say maybe a couple of times.
Because you don't like fast food? Because it's super expensive?
Oh, no, not at all. Because it's the easiest way to get off on a budget, I guess I would say. And it just stacks up very quickly. It's also not very healthy for you.
Yeah, completely. And if it is healthy for you, it's really expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get cheap things. It's almost like the cheaper it is, the crappier it is for your health.
Checks out, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Brad? If you're going, how often do you go to get fast food and you're buying for two people?
Man, how often? Once, maybe every 4 months.
Good grief. So I have a family of six. And if I'm going to a fast food restaurant and we're, you know, between point A, B, C, D, and E, and we're not going to be home all day, and we're going to go get food somewhere, if my family goes to a fast food restaurant, it's $60 to $70.
Man.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
We have, I mean, myself and my husband, but my son is 15 now, so he eats like an adult. My oldest daughter is getting to the point where she can eat like an adult. And then I have two kids. It's almost stupid to buy a meal for a kid because the prices are not really that, they're not cheaper. And you get less food. So for us, generally speaking, we'll get like one adult meal and
split
it between
the kids. Unless you're at Culver's. You ever had Culver's kids meal deal?
I don't know.
It's a bang for your buck.
Do you have to be of a certain age
no.
to get it?
Nope.
Terry gets it.
When I go to Culver's, which isn't very often, that is the move. Is their
cheeseburger
kids meal.
Fries and a
cheeseburger is treat? Pretty much the same size. You get mm-hmm. a treat with it, and it's a smaller fry. That's the big thing. But I mean. It is. I mean, I couldn't give you the price comparison right now, but it is a much better deal.
I got to imagine it's dramatic.
Yeah.
What's a good draw? You think Culver's is doing that to bring families in? Because my family, if I'm going to McDonald's has a box value meal. I don't know. We might get it maybe once a month, and it will be when you're on the road and you're at a tournament or something like that, and you got to feed everybody, you got to feed them fast. But it's got like a few burgers in it. It's got like 100 chicken nuggets. It's not that many. I don't know. I don't eat them. And fries. And it's, the value is there. But it is like you're feeding your family this, and you're like, oh, gosh.
Right.
But basically, all I'm doing is making them not be hungry.
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, with a family of six, I mean, Annie, do you guys meal prep? Like on the weekends, you like just cook for the week?
No.
How do you guys have time to cook?
My husband cooks, and he is like when we're in. I mean, they've been out of school for like 2.5 weeks now because
sure.
they had 2 weeks of break and two snow days. He's usually got a protein thawing out in the sink in the morning when he goes to work, and
okay.
we will have pasta or meatloaf or. I don't know, burgers and chicken.
But he cooks every night.
The reason why I don't feel terrible as a parent going through McDonald's is because my kids eat home cooked meals most of the time.
Wow, that's impressive. Because especially, I mean, four kids—that's a pretty good amount of children that you guys got going on there in the Fry household.
It's not just food; everything is expensive.
Yeah,
it's wild.
But more so, the time that it takes. to put into like those home cooked meals and that good quality food, that's no joke. I mean,
we
my
have
parents,
a fresh vegetable.
Uh huh.
So it's usually salad. All of my kids will eat salad.
And good so for you guys.
Fresh chop. I mean, it's cheaper to buy a head of lettuce and to chop it up. So we have a big bowl of greens that can be eaten. It's not iceberg lettuce. It's like romaine or something. And then our standard salad toppings include boiled eggs, bacon bites, which Jared will make fresh sometimes. It depends on how much time he has. Red onions, cheese. I think sometimes croutons, but and ranch. And it's full fat ranch. None of that fat-free stuff. It tastes terrible.
So did you answer the question that you asked us of how often you guys do that?
Fast food, I don't think my family eats fast food. Certainly not as a whole family. I would say we eat fast food less than weekly. But the thing that we will do, we're throwing nutrition to the wind and we're feeding, it's comfort food and we're making them not be hungry, is we get Papa John's pizza.
Fair enough.
We live close enough to a Papa John's where there used to be a carryout pizza. You could get a large pizza carryout for $7.99. One of the reasons why I ended up wanting to move into town, because we used to live in Hamel and they didn't have anywhere to go eat at the time. They had one bar.
You see tumbleweeds in Hamel?
Less,
just go along there?
Less these days, but it's possible. There's some farmland out there. It's a wonderful, wonderful place, and it's there's so much going. It's like funny to say there's so much going on in Hamel, but there really is. If you're looking for,
they have a Dairy Queen now.
They don't have a Dairy Queen.
Oh, never
they
mind.
They do have an ice cream place. They do have an ice cream place. It escapes me, but I've heard wonderful things about it. It's at the 4-way stop.
The only one.
Yes, and it's across from the bank.
It's the most likely spot to see the tumbleweeds, too.
Yeah, it's true, especially now. It's important to feed the kids healthy food as much as we can. But then when it comes to getting pizza every once in a while, you just have to be like, it's just time for pizza.
Yeah, totally.
And when we moved, quote, into town, I was like, we are going to have food delivered to our house. That I'm so excited about being in a place where when we need the convenience of food showing up at your door ready to eat, that's what I think we have maybe had pizza delivered to our house, maybe food delivered to our house one time that we are in our ninth year of living there.
You guys are doing all right.
Well, it's
parent wise. I mean, like parent quality wise, like that's impressive. I'm thinking about having the combination of having four kids and cooking every night. That's the part that gets me. I don't even cook every night. Like, I meal prep at the beginning of the week.
But that's the thing. Like, what you're thinking, it's a ton of kids. You got a lot going on.
Yep.
And it would be very difficult to do that. It's unaffordable not to.
Yeah, but if you... I'm saying, like, I cook at the beginning of the week. It goes in the fridge, and I have leftovers throughout the week.
Yeah. Our weekends are full. we don't have weekends.
That's fair.
I mean, if like this weekend, we've got a basketball tournament all this week into the weekend. It'll go through Sunday. I specifically don't sign my kids up for the only club sport that my kids have played. My son did baseball, but that was the baseball that he played. It was not in addition to, you know, a city league or a local league or whatever.
Sure.
That's just kind of the way that goes. But I mean, I could do hours and hours on club sports for kids and how devastating I think that they are. There are a lot of places who do it right, but there are way more places who are doing it wrong.
I think it depends on the level of club sports, because there's certainly, like, I guess for lack of a better word, low enough club sports to where they're not detrimental. But yes, I would completely agree. Even, you know, and it's not, here's the thing, is it's not even like the higher levels of club sports are now in just about every town. It's not like it's a select, like, oh, it's only in like the big cities kind of thing, or like around the big tournaments. It is spread out to where, like, even as I was growing up, I mean, seeing like just some of these people that I go to school with, like, they have no lives outside of their sports. And I love sports. I want to be in sports as a career. But like, man, I can understand why none of these kids were burnt out by 15 or 16 on their sports.
It's their childhood.
Yeah.
The childhood has now been monetized. And here's the scam. And this is what frustrates me. There is a very small percentage of children who are going to take that extra participation, that extra effort into athletics to a degree where it's going to benefit them in a way other than learning how to play on a team, learning how to have a skill, learning how to dedicate something to better yourself in something. There is an incredibly small percentage of kids who are participating in these club sports who are ever going to see scholarships, pro sports. And, you know, I say that kind of laughing because there's like hardly any opportunities for girls to even participate in a professional athletic capacity that would sustain you for any amount of time. You do not make life-changing money as a female in sports pretty much anywhere. Maybe more so now with the name, image, likeness opportunities that exist in college. But again, the sport is what gets you the attention, but what you do with it, I'm thinking of, is it Olivia
Dunn?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know her name. I think, is she a gymnast?
Yes.
SEC school?
LSU.
LSU. Mm-hmm. That's what I know about her. She's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
She's a bazillionaire.
Yep.
Probably because she's beautiful.
But she got big through TikTok.
Yeah.
And now she might be number one in college sports right now as far as NIL.
Is she Skeens' girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
I know more about Paul. It's Paul Skeens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh. Did he win the rookie?
Rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year?
Yeah.
I know more about him than I know about her. And does she have more money than he does? It's probably close.
Probably. I'm trying to process. Like, he's on a rookie contract.
Yeah, but it's in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, I mean, rookie contracts aren't anything special usually. So, yes, I would assume that she has more money than him.
To get back to the original point, though, you have children who are like 9 years old who are being treated like free agents. And the agency that represents them are their parents, who you cannot be objective about your child's ability. As a parent, you will grow over time, likely, in being more objectively aware of where your child lines up athletically comparative to their peers, because they will gain opportunities and they will lose out on opportunities. So the world will kind of tell you what you maybe weren't accepting on your own, or maybe you'll be surprised that the talent and the skill level continues to build. But we are treating our children like cattle because this is the way club sports usually works. There is a premier team in whatever club. Pick a sport. Baseball, soccer, hockey, volleyball. I don't know what else there is, but I'm sure that it expands across every athletic opportunity. There's a club. And there is a premier team club at that club. And those kids are probably going to go somewhere if they still like the sport they're participating in, once the opportunity has the ability to pay off. The clubs then sell the premier attention that top team gets, and they will fill as many teams underneath the success of that premier team. They will fill as many teams as they get applicants. So then everybody is playing club sports. Everybody is in the select thing. You will lose 50 to 75% of your year to 2-3 times a week practices and all weekend tournaments, traveling all over the place, spending a ton of money that most of us don't have. And in many cases, the team that these kids are playing on, and I say this as somebody who, if my kids were participating in these sports, they wouldn't be on the premier of premier level of whatever that club has to offer, I don't think. Like, I'm aware of that, and I am interested in potentially if my son or my daughter shows particular talent and interest in committing because they've chosen to do that, giving them the opportunity to succeed at a better level. I have no problem with people who are out there who have that special gift and that special talent. You'll see it with kids who have musical talent. You're like, oh my gosh, that person has a gift. And then they do things, and they travel, and they challenge themselves, and they get opportunities to succeed, and they might see that come to fruition in a matter of time where it benefits them on a life schedule. But when you're taking away the childhood of these kids in the hopes that it's going to manifest into something that is, like, at the end of the day, financially beneficial. I'm just really not interested in doing that for my kids. And I have, especially in the wake of all of the things that have been injected into youth entertainment and, like, the messages that are, like, there are so many people trying to get to my kids. There are so many things trying to steal away my children's innocence, my children's time, my time with my children, that I have very, very much so put up this massive guardrail along with my husband around my kids and said, no, this childhood will be as protected as it possibly can be for as long as it can be, because once it's gone, it's gone. And I wish that there was a way to inject a little bit more team mentality into the sports that kids are playing. And you can't do that when every kid is playing for themselves. And I mean, it's not an exaggeration. If you've been involved in select sports, you know this. Mid-season, everybody starts jockeying for their next team and their next position. Kids are missing games for the team they're on to try out for teams, playing on other teams in front of kids who are showing up and dedicating themselves on the team that they're on. It's so gross.
It really is no surprise that
children.
It really is no surprise that, because this is really that first generation that has been raised like that, that you see this in college sports now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is completely adopted and taken over the college sport base that is name, image, and likeness.
It's all self.
Yeah, it's all self.
And when you're watching bowl games, I mean, not the playoffs, but when you're watching bowl games and you got players out, quarterbacks who don't play in that bowl game because they, you know, they're going to maybe move to another school and they've already announced or whatever it is. It's just like, this sucks. There's nothing for a fan to give into. And it starts when they're like six.
Mm-hmm.
Barf.
And that would be an interesting conversation as to, you know, how much of this is coming from, and it's something that I haven't really thought of as someone who is around it a lot and is very passionate on the changes that college sports, I would say, have seen. That is an interesting perspective of how much of it is coming from, like, this is how a lot of these kids were raised. Because, you know, like you said, the kids that, you know, are now turning into adults that we're watching on the big screens on Saturdays and Sundays, mm-hmm. and football and basketball, like, they are the ones that were on some of those top teams.
Yes.
You know, that's where they came from.
Right.
So they have, like, grown up, and this is what it's about. This is how this goes. And all of a sudden, we're seeing it really have an effect on the pace of the game. You know, because no one really cares unless you're a parent at that club level, right? No one cares because no one's watching it from a neutral perspective.
Right.
But all of a sudden, when it gets to this level of sports, now it's an issue.
Yeah. And I listen to so many athletes and so many coaches, especially when it comes to baseball, which is what I've had the most experience with as a parent, of these coaches and professional athlete players and everything. And they're like, do not play baseball all year round. It's the worst thing for your body. You do not, you know, don't forget to practice. It's games, 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 games. Like, you could just tell that the people at the top know that the culture at the bottom is not going to serve their benefit in the long run. And I go back to my initial point. It's stealing their childhood. And it's very sad when you think about it that way. Quick break when we come back. YouTube live chat poll. Should America pursue acquiring Greenland in some capacity? We'll answer that question and throw in a few of your comments as well. So get on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat and leave us your comment. You can also vote there in the poll. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us this afternoon. I invite you to join us at AnnieFryShow.com. If you've ever been looking for the YouTube live broadcast, if you go to AnnieFryShow.com, it is up there. You can also access the podcast at AnnieFryShow.com/podcast anytime you are interested in checking out something you might have missed. It's right there. And it's easy to get to. Just go to AnnieFryShow.com. We listened to President Trump's press conference earlier in the show, or before the show. We aired it here during the Kilmeade Hour. And he took a lot of questions as well after the initial comments that he made about the investment took place. And I was just thinking about the comparison between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and Donald Trump's ability to think on his feet when he's taking a when he's doing a press conference. These are traditionally not people who are rooting for his success. In fact, they've been very much so participants in trying to pursue his failures. But I felt like the press conference today, people were asking genuine questions, and not in the way that I am used to them trying to set him up to fail. And you've got a question about the Panama Canal. You've got a question about the hostages. One of the things about that Donald Trump has said specifically in the press conference today, Brad, I don't know if you heard him talking about this, but he brought up the guy who he has leading the negotiations to get the hostages out of, the Hamas hostages that they took during October 7th. And he said that all hell will break loose in the Middle East if those hostages aren't freed before the inauguration. We've got 13 days until that happens.
Yeah.
Have you heard? I mean, what did Joe Biden say? Don't. Minor incursion. Well, we're still watching Ukraine and Russia fight a war.
Right, but more than that, his actions were things like, well, we need to make sure that we keep getting aid into Gaza and all these other things. And so everything that his words were saying one thing, and then his actions were telling two different stories. Yeah, he was supplying Israel with weapons, but on the other side of it, he was giving money and aid to Hamas, but to Gaza, and Hamas was immediately taking that stuff and confiscating it and using it for their own means. Joe Biden never had a clear message or clear direction on anything. He's like, we want the hostages home. And that's kind of about what it said. Yeah, you would hear Anthony Blinken come out every now and then be like, we think we're getting close. But most of their negotiation deals were basically insulting Israel for not doing enough to get the hostages back. And I just never saw that as valuable.
You know, Ethan, you were saying earlier in the show that, and I'm going to pull this clip up here in a second, but you were saying earlier in the show when Joe Biden starts to speak, you brace yourself for impact. When Donald Trump is up there, Donald Trump is not like a smooth talker. He's not the guy who goes up there and is an orator that you like listen to and you're like, oh, it's just so, he speaks so well.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of rough around the edges, but he does have substance when he speaks. I what is Joe Biden doing right now? Like, what is he? It's unbelievable. He's still the president of the United States.
I think there's a difference between when I hear Donald Trump talk. Yes, I think that they're definitely, it feels like, I guess, as a taking in someone that's taking in information, right? You have to understand that everyone is speaking with an agenda, right? When it comes to like the political side of things.
Yeah.
And when it comes to Joe Biden, I think that, you know, it's probably most of the time it's below the line. You want to be able to, in certain situations, give the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, this is what he's going for. The same thing with Donald Trump, in that sometimes it comes off a little bit like a jerk or like prideful or like, I'm better than you.
Yeah.
That was a huge issue during his first term, I think, is that there was a lot of division. And I think that he's already significantly improved upon a lot of that. And I think that a lot of people, part of that has to do with a lot of people are no longer buying some of the BS that's been turned into. But there are people out there that is totally getting flipped with. They look at what Trump says and everything is, how can we make this the worst possible thing it could possibly be?
Yeah.
Right? And I think that that's a huge issue with how information is taken in right now. So, you can't have it both ways. You know, Biden can't be this amazing, one of the best presidents we've ever seen, and one side being like, I can't even tell what he's saying.
Yeah.
And then Trump, who's, you know, has his moments for sure, on the other side being said that, or people saying that he is one of the worst beings, people comparing him to Hitler, this terrible human being. It just doesn't make sense to me. And both sides, you know, to a certain extent, are guilty of it. To say that one side's perfect and the other isn't is not fair. But it just seems like so much of what political figures, specifically these guys, say tries to get twisted by the parties, and that's just not fair.
I think what Americans are craving right now, which is going back to the conversation we had, we played that 5-minute whatever video from Mark Zuckerberg. I think what Americans are craving right now is reality and truth. And when I this is making people fall off their chair. Not a lot of them are listening to the show, but for those of you who are, thank you for being here. When I listen to Donald Trump speak, I don't see a politician who's trying to inject in my brain my thought process on the issue to the point where he's polishing everything so that I come out of his comments with a specific thought. I see him saying what he thinks, speaking on what he believes to be true and real, and then in the process of doing that, he speaks how he wants to react to it. That's how he functions. He assesses situations and he works to respond to them in the way that he deems best. And it's not always polished. It's not always clean. But it really comes down to this. I trust Donald Trump. I do not trust Joe Biden. I don't even know how much of Joe Biden's presidency really has Joe Biden's fingerprints on it. I can't watch Joe Biden navigate a particular issue and feel like, man, he's really got a command on this. He really has a strong feeling about the outcome that he wants to see happen. And then he comes out and tells us this is how it's going to be. All I see from Joe Biden is politics. 100% politics. All the time. So much so that if you go back to his inauguration speech and you listen to him talk about how he's going to be the unity president and how he's going to bring people together, in no way, shape, or form did he bring anybody together throughout his presidency. What he meant when he said that was that he was going to talk to the American people in a way that he was told that this progressive left is going to take this party in this country. And if you don't agree with it, you will be left behind and shamed for it. So the people that count are the people who are unified around whatever it is he does, says, and thinks. Or the people who are controlling his presidency does, says, and thinks. If you disagree with him, you will be left behind and shamed. And that's not a way to run a successful country, especially one that is in the ownership of its people, not of some government leader. The real question comes down to, are we in a position in this country with 13 days left with a president who has his hands at 10-2 on the wheel? And the answer is no. It's absolutely not. When we come back, I'm going to play that video, that sound for you of something that took place at the White House. It's just too funny not to play it. I got to play it. I got to show it to you. You got to see it. Join us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel if you want to watch this happen. But the audio is hilarious enough in and of itself. While you're over there getting prepped to watch that video with us in the next segment, the YouTube live chat poll, should America pursue acquiring Greenland in some capacity, yes or no? Let us know what you think. We want to hear from you. Leave us a comment on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Okay. I want to tell the world that you're mine. Welcome back. Good to have you here. I got to come up with, I should put Ryan in charge of this when he gets back. I need to come up with new ways in 2025 to bring people back into the show. I'll listen to other talk shows, sometimes national talk shows or even television shows, and people come back. You know exactly how they're going to say it or what they're going to say. And I always pick it up on when other people do it.
Mm-hmm.
I should be better. He should come up with some suggestions on ways I should come back into segments.
Ooh, that will be fun.
Ooh, welcome back. Thanks for being with us here on the Annie Fry Show. Mm-hmm. Sound boring.
Hmm.
Any thoughts?
No.
No.
But as
no,
as Wiggins' replacement, I will work in the best fashion to basically
embarrass
come
me?
Up with no come up with
if you're taking his
come
decision.
Up with versions of whatever he says that are both better and younger.
Yeah. Okay.
And wiser.
I just bought a new cord for my headphones here have mm-hmm. a cord because it is impossible to find cool looking wired headphones. Everything is Bluetooth.
Those ones are cool.
You're darn right they are. And I looked high and low for these, like years. Have you ever heard of Master and Dynamic?
No.
Neither had I. I saw them in the airport on the way out to the border at Lambert Airport.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they always have at the airport, they have like, you can buy headphones there. Brilliant move, because if you go there and you realize you forgot your headphones and you're about to get on an airplane, you'll pay whatever to get headphones. And I saw these and I thought they looked really cool, but I was like, oh, I'd never heard of this name brand. They're great. I love every bit of them. But they're not hardwired. I got to plug in a USB-C cord to my headphones.
Oh.
So over the course of time, plugging that in every day, unplugging it, plugging it in every day, unplugging it, eventually the cord gets a little shaky. And sometimes I have to wiggle the jack over here in order to make sure that it's functioning the way it is. So I just ordered a second cable because I feel like this one is just starting to go out. I want to have a backup cable so I'm not without them. Just the cable. A USB-C input to these headphones and a 3.5 millimeter cord that goes into an adapter so that I could listen to these. $60.
Just the adapter?
Just the cord.
Oh my gosh. That's stupid.
How stupid is that? And I have, I learned my lesson because I have a bag of cords at home trying, when I was looking to replace this the first time, and I probably spent well over $60 because I was trying to get whatever I could the fastest I could so I could have my headphones functioning again. I just think that's outrageous.
What's the company again?
Master and Dynamic.
Well, maybe we can set up a little sponsorship thing here.
Yeah, for $60. What do you want? No. I did buy it off of my work-related expenses of money that I make here, so maybe that'll help me along the way. I wanted to play. I saved this specifically so that I could play it when you were in here, Ethan, because this is just extra special.
Uh-oh.
This is the cherry on the top of the Joe Biden White House experience.
That's an awful thumbnail picture.
No, it says everything you need to know. Just explain to us what you see there before I click play.
It looks like Joe Biden is mid, like, screaming. But the way that his lips are curled around his teeth, it looks like he doesn't have teeth.
Or gums.
He is manhandling. I mean, looks like he's just got the ultimate squeeze to where he's not even aware of how hard.
The claw.
He is.
In possession of.
Gripping. In possession of. I mean, this kid can't be older than 20 years old.
Well, it's funny that you say that. What song does everybody know?
What song does everybody know? Oh, this is the happy birthday thing,
have
right?
Have you heard this?
No.
You haven't heard this.
I have not heard this.
So Joe Biden, and I will say this, is charming until it goes all Joe Biden.
Until it's like, oh God.
Yes,
secondhand embarrassment.
I wanted to make sure that you got your full dose of secondhand Biden embarrassment today.
I'm ready.
He's honoring people. And, you know, I hear today everybody can get a Presidential Medal of Freedom, but this looks like a very fine young man. He probably did something worthy of attention, but it happened to be his birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Lulu.
Oh, no.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday,
singing. Just don't say, if you don't remember his name, why are you possessing this man with your right hand and asking people to sing happy birthday and then just going happy birthday, dude?
That's probably that has to be probably how his pardons are going too, right? He's like, I'm pardoning.
Who'd you tell me this next person was? George Soros? Okay.
Yeah, it's
line them up.
That's got to be how that's going too, right?
It's really something.
That was awesome.
He also doesn't, I mean, this is just like, I don't want to be like overly musically critical, but it's happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. The second line there is different than the first line. Not the Joe Biden version. He just sings the same line over and over.
Andy, your expectations are way too high. The fact that he said the words correctly to this, because I was expecting like, oh God, how's he going to screw this up?
How do you screw up happy birthday?
I mean, typically base level is you know the words, which it's the same line like three times over, four times over. I was worried Joe Biden wasn't going to be able to do that.
What's the words again? I can't read this here.
Yeah. Pause.
You know how like when, you know the thing. You know how when you're at a family birthday celebration and it's a little bit extended family or whatever, and you're going, happy birthday, dear. And it's grandma and mom and Susie.
Yeah.
And it gets to that point and everybody kind of says something different. Yeah, you expect that, but commit to something. Is there a generic, like, if you're singing happy birthday to a group of people, is there an understood placeholder that could be used at any time?
I'll tell you the one my pastor uses.
Okay.
He sings God Bless You. So happy birthday, God bless you.
That would make sense. That probably not out of Joe Biden's White House, but good for that. I like that.
No, I don't have one. I mean, normally if you're singing happy birthday for someone, don't you tend to know who you're singing it for?
The president of the United States does not.
Well, clearly, the president of the United States doesn't blank a lot of things.
Bobo says, or dear friend.
Dear friend's good.
I mean, even if...
Not much of a dear friend. Don't know their name.
Average friend. Don't you think, though, that shouldn't there be a commonly understood placeholder for that? When you're singing happy birthday to maybe a group of multiple people?
No, because... You shouldn't be singing happy birthday to anyone if you don't know their name.
Well, time out. Let me just set the stage here. What if you are, say, at a church and you've got three members of your church who have birthdays relatively close, and then as a church you want to sing to all three of them?
Yeah. You say, dear...
Ethan, Brad, and Annie.
Yeah, that's normal to stretch it out.
Right, but what if you have like seven of them?
You do it L7. You could, and you could say them in whatever order, and it could sound like a mumbled jumbled mess. But if it was actually words and not...
that's the funny part, though. The funniest part is when everyone's like, how are we going to go about this now? And everyone kind of just throws their names out there. That's kind of the funny part.
Joe Biden did not do so. But again...
Poor
like,
execution.
At the same time, it's endearing.
Come on, Joe.
I give him credit for, like, he finds out, oh, it's your birthday. And then he says this. This is a funny part. It's not in this video clip. But he goes, we have a tradition here in our White House. Who doesn't have the tradition of singing happy birthday? And we have the tradition of singing happy birthday and inserting said birthday person's name in the song. That is not a part of his tradition, apparently.
Guess not. I'm surprised they didn't find a way to make it racist or sexist. This offends some people because some people don't have birthdays.
You could say, happy birthday, happy birthday. You could just repeat it.
Happy birthday to you. Woof.
Good try. A for effort?
No.
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 I feel like Joe Biden's version has to include Jack or something like that in it.
I asked this question of Ryan Wiggins yesterday, but wouldn't be the true greatest comeback in political history if Joe Biden won in 2028?
Oh, yeah. Totally. Because he would have to, like, regain mental competence. That is, like, that would be crazy.
It's really funny to me that you are the harshest on Joe Biden, and you're the one who said at the beginning of the show that you have embarrassment when he starts to speak.
Yeah, I do.
This is why.
I mean, he is so far gone. Like, I mean, he has no idea of anything he's doing, and it is so clear at this point, like, that he is just told where to go and what to do, and there is... it's like a puppet. It's like people are like literally have him on strings and he's doing whatever they tell him. I mean,
I just want to see the people who are behind the camera who, as soon as he starts singing happy birthday, I just want to see everybody going, oh my God.
But can you imagine when they thought that there was still a chance?
Yeah.
That was probably because now everyone knows.
Yeah, like Kamala did. She said so.
Nothing is, everything is out now. But can you imagine back when, like, before when the campaign was still going and CNN was all the deep fake stuff, and right, they were trying to turn it into something it really
Shameless.
Wasn't. Can you imagine what they were doing then? Bad. Like, oh my gosh, this is not good. This is really falling apart. What do we... Yeah, exactly.
YouTube live chat poll for today. Should America pursue acquiring Greenland in some capacity? Yes or no? Joe on our live chat said, yes, get Greenland. Sounds like a movie title. If AOC is right about climate change, then we can all have some beachfront property to enjoy the end of the world. Ethan, do you have strong thoughts on whether or not we should try to make a play in some capacity of Greenland?
Yeah. Yes, why not? Like, buy it.
Yeah. What's it cost?
Just do it.
That's what Elon Musk said when someone's like, buy Twitter. And he's like, how much is it?
I did hear that there is there's a rich amount of minerals and things that would be beneficial to acquire. But regardless of finding out that information, I was going to answer yes to this just for the fact of we own it.
Why
now.
Not?
It's
yeah.
ours.
I'm
Ethan's
a yes.
an imperialist.
Are you a yes?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Brett, or Ethan, do you have the results pulled
I do
up
have
there?
The results.
Give
248 votes for today's YouTube live chat poll. Should America pursue acquiring Greenland in some capacity? 79% of people are correct in saying yes, and 21% said no.
That's funny. 4/5 say, yeah, let's go get it. I think that's a pretty strong majority. I guess Donald Trump has the mandate he needs now to pursue said territory. Stick around here, The Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk next.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.